Okay, good morning to everyone on this brand new day that our God has given to us and that he has made. We meet together again, and it is a blessing to meet in the name of Jesus as we meet around the Word of God, the living Word of God. I am glad to see each one of you. I hope you had a good week. I know life is always full of different twists and turns, but God is good through it all. Some of us had busy weeks. That was my week, but it was a good week overall. So I thank God. We can all thank God for the journey. We are fellow saints with God as our Father, and I'm still trying to see who all is out here with us. If we have any new persons with us, we are glad that you are here. My name is Sister Velma Jean Sanders. I am the teacher of the Contemporary Bible class at Salem Baptist Church in Omaha, Nebraska. And I greet you in the name of Jesus on this November the 22nd in the year 2020. We are currently studying the Gospel according to Luke. And today we will be continuing in our study from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. And I teach from the New King James Version of the Bible. I encourage each one of you to continue to invite other people to join the class when you have the opportunity. You can't make anyone join, but you can invite them. And that is part of our mission work as well, is to invite others, because everyone needs the Word of God, saint and sinner. We all need the Word of God. Well, let's go to our blessed God in prayer just for a moment here before I pray. I do want to mention, and I don't know if Sarah, if the Evandes are with us this morning or not, but some of you know Sarah Evandy and Hermie Evandy, who are part of the Contemporary Bible class, and Reverend Dr. Peter Evandy, who would visit our class whenever he was here in Omaha, Nebraska. He's the former pastor of a church in Cameroon, Africa. Reverend Dr. Evandy passed, transitioned on to glory this past week, and his funeral service will be here in Omaha at Roeder Mortuary on Friday, the Roeder's at 108th, off 108th and Maple, this Friday at 1 o'clock. So as a class, we want to offer our condolences and prayers, our sincere condolences and our deepest prayers to Sarah Evandy, and Reverend Evandy was her husband, and to Hermie, Reverend Evandy, her father. And also there were other members of that family who were part of our class. So we extend our condolences to them. I will include the information of the funeral and the viewing service on this coming week's Zoom invitation, so you'll have that information. Blessed God, our Father, we come before you with thanksgiving in our hearts, praises on our lips to you, most holy and great God. We love you and we worship you, we adore you, and we bless your holy name. It is good for us to meet together in the name of Jesus. We look forward to sitting at your feet, not alone, Lord God, but with others. For you have said in your word, where two or three are gathered in your name, and we have met that qualification. There are more than two or three of us, but we all gather in the name of Jesus. And we ask you now, Lord, to open our eyes to see, our ears to hear. We pray individually and collectively that we would be able to receive the word of God. We ask you by your spirit to quicken us, quicken our minds, quicken our bodies. Just quicken us, we pray, to be receptive to the word, and then to be not only hearers of the word, but help us to be doers of the word as well. We ask you to forgive us of our sins, whatever they may be. Cleanse us, we pray, and forgive us, we pray, in the name of Jesus. We pray for the needs of each other in the class. We ask you to bless each and every one. We pray a special prayer for the Evandy family in this, their hour of mourning, and in their hour of grief. May they always take comfort and refuge in thee. We pray these prayers in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, today we continue in our study from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. And this is part two of our study we started on last week. Most of us have heard of the parable of the Good Samaritan. If you've been in church any time, you have heard about the parable of the Good Samaritan. But usually you hear about it in an isolated way. The actual parable starts at verse 30 through verse 37, but the context of the parable is given to us starting at verse 25. And in the context, we studied this on last week, but let's begin today. I'm just going to read the first part of our passage, verses 25 through 29, give a review of that, and then go on a little further. Luke chapter 10, verse 25, reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. It reads, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?' So he answered and said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live.' But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?'" So let's stop there for a moment. On last week, by way of review, we saw that this entire passage from verse 25 through 37 contains within it five questions. There are questions asked by the lawyer as well as questions asked by Jesus. The whole scenario, this entire passage, is on the basis of a question in verse 25, where the lawyer asks, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" We also saw that a key word that holds this entire passage together is the little word "do." It is only two letters in that word "do," two letters and one syllable, but it is a huge word, the word "do," because it is not hearers of the word that will inherit eternal life. It is doers of the word, doers of the word. And so "do" is very important. We see in verse 25, the word "do," "what shall I do?" Now "do" is an action word. We all know that "do" is a verb. It is an action word, and it is referring to our behavior, how we act, our manner of living. "What shall I do?" the lawyer asks, to inherit eternal life. And then we go down to verse 28 and we see the next "do," and it says, "And he," Jesus, "said to him, 'You have answered rightly. Do this and you shall live.'" That's the second "do." And Jesus answered his question. He asked, "What shall I do?" And then there's some more words in between, and we'll talk about that in a moment. Verse 28, Jesus said, "Do this and you shall live." Well, the lawyer, he wasn't quite satisfied with that. So in verse 29, the lawyer wanted to justify himself. He had a question and he wanted to know, "Who is my neighbor?" And then Jesus gives the parable of the Good Samaritan. When Jesus had finished with the parable, given the parable, in verse 36, Jesus asked the question, which is the final question in this passage. So Jesus tests the lawyer, and Jesus asked the lawyer, "Which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And then the lawyer gives the answer, and Jesus gives the conclusion in verse 37, "Go and do likewise." And so "do" is very important. It's in the first verse, 25, and in the last verse, verse 37. Well, what is it that we're supposed to do? Well, the doing, what actually is supposed to be done, is in verse 27. Verse 25 again. The lawyer stands up, and we talked about that lawyer. The lawyer was the legal expert. You can't be a lawyer without knowing the law. And so he is a legal expert. We would assume expert is a pretty big word, but his profession and occupation and calling, we might even say, is he was a lawyer, legal expert, legal with the Jewish law. Okay. So he stands up, and we talked about that last week. He stands up to take a position of prominence. Now, we don't know how many lawyers are in the room. We don't know if there's other lawyers. I would imagine there are, because he stood up and he stands out. When he stood up, he's standing out. He becomes prominent. Well, that's not all bad. That could be okay. But then it goes on to say in verse 25 that he was testing Jesus. Now, there's many reasons that questions can be asked. Questions can be asked with a sincere motive, just wanting to know knowledge, something that you did not know. But his question is to test. He's trying to trick Jesus, or to see how much Jesus knows, or to maybe prove himself to be more knowledgeable than Jesus. So he calls himself, he's going to test Jesus. And then comes with the question, teacher. Well, teacher, that could be a word of reverence, a title of reverence, but it could also be to kind of downplay, as it were, the Lord Jesus Christ. But it could also, of course, be a title of respect. And so he asked the question, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Well, Jesus came right back and asked him a question. And Jesus asked him, Jesus test him, since you're the legal expert, you should know what is written in the law. So Jesus asked him, what is written in the law? So Jesus puts him on the spot. Since he's the lawyer, since he's the legal expert in the Jewish law, he should know what is written in the law. Well, that would assume what? That he had read the law. That he had read his Bible. And it is important for us as Christians to know what is written in the Word of God. And you can't get that by osmosis. You have to know what's written in the Word of God for yourself and through reading the Word of God for yourself. And so, having said that, I encourage you to keep coming back to class. Of course I do. But I also encourage you to read the Word of God for yourself so you can know what is written in the law. That was the question that Jesus asked the lawyer. And then he said, what is your reading of it? In other words, how are you interpreting what you have read? Well, the lawyer comes back. He's the legal expert, and he has the right answer. And this is what is to be done. Because I'm answering, well, what is it we're supposed to do, since do is the key word? Well, verse 27, the lawyer says, he answered and he said, you shall love the Lord your God. Well, that's first. That is true in the Old Testament. It is true in the New Testament and for ages to come, that we should love the Lord your God. So that's the first part of the do. Is to love the Lord your God. And then go on down a few more words towards the end of that verse, and it says, and your neighbor as yourself. And so the doing, the behavior that we are to have, is to love God. That's first. That is the first, that is the greatest commandment, is to love God. And the second commandment, Jesus told us, he gave us the two great commandments. Commandment number one, the greatest commandment, love God. The second commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. And so the lawyer, he knows the right answer. But he says in verse 27, and he's quoting from the Old Testament scripture in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6. And he quotes what is called the Shema. And Sister Kathy Piper, she's with us in class this morning, and she sent me a beautiful email that I never got around to responding to. But she let me know in the Shema, which is in Deuteronomy chapter 6, we read it on last week, and the lawyer is quoting from it. But Sister Piper let me know, and I have her email here, and she wrote that the Shema is most beautiful when it is sung, in a song. And the Jewish people, they bow their heads and they cover their eyes when they sing the Shema. And so the Shema in Deuteronomy chapter 6, the lawyer is quoting it here in Luke 10, verse 27. You shall love the Lord your God. But it goes on and it says, with all your heart. Now, all is a big word. There is nothing on the other side of all. And you know, a good study would be to study all the alls of the scripture. Now, I think of one all, and it says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means there's no one who has not sinned. All have sinned. Well, in verse 27 here, it says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. Now, if we had time, we could unmute yourselves and I could ask the question, who amongst us has kept this first great commandment? We love the Lord. It is the problem comes with, and I put problem in quotes, where we fall short is loving him with all your heart. You mean all my heart, all my soul, all my strength, all my mind, every day, every month, every minute, every week, summer, winter, spring and fall. I'm supposed to love God in the daytime, in the nighttime, with everything I have. And we find out we fall short. None of us are able to love the Lord our God with all everything, every day, every minute. We do love the Lord. The problem comes with the deficiency in us is loving him with all our hearts. However, the lawyer, he knew the right answer. We know the right answer too. And then he went on and he obtained part of a scripture from the book of Leviticus. Here in verse 27, and he says, and on top of all of that, love your neighbor as yourself. And so the lawyer knows the right answers to the question. That's a good thing. It's a good start to know the right answer. But then we go on to verse 28, and Jesus told the lawyer, he responded, and he said to the lawyer, you have answered right. And the lawyer got 100 on the test. He got an A+. He answered the question correctly, what is written in the law? He answered his own question, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And so verse 28, Jesus said, you answered right. Do this. Do this. Well, what is it he's supposed to do? Love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind. And you would think when Jesus was saying, do this, well, he should have lifted up both hands and said, I surrender. I fall short. Lord, have mercy on me. Be merciful to me, Lord God, a sinner. I'm not able to love you with all my heart. Now, we are growing in grace, all of us. I pray we're growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're loving him more. We should be loving him more today than we loved him on yesterday. But we fall short of loving him with all. And so we found out on last week the purpose of the law. The law. The law was given so we could say, I can't keep the law. And the law should drive us to surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one, the only one, who is able to keep this first great commandment. Well, the lawyer, we found out in verse 28, Jesus said, you have answered right. He knew the right words. Jesus said, do this. This should be your behavior. Do this and you will live. Well, the lawyer, instead of saying, Lord, have mercy on me, I can't do that. Instead of doing that, we go on in verse 29, and the lawyer now, we find out more of his heart and more of his motive. The lawyer, it says in verse 29, he wanting to justify himself. He's trying to be self-righteous. He's going to justify himself. And you know, you fall short if you justify yourself in the presence of God. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, you're right, Jesus. I'm going to do that. Help me to do that. Help me, Lord, to love you, love God with everything I have. No, that's not what the lawyer said. Seeking to justify himself, he said to Jesus, who is my neighbor? So now we see, now we're looking more into the lawyer's heart. He is seeking to justify himself. Now, we've all done this, whether you want to admit it or not, or whether you're aware of it or not. We have all sought to justify ourselves from doing, or I should say from not doing, what we know we are supposed to do. Because the lawyer, he knew the right words, just like we could say, we know we should pray. We should pray more. Probably all of us could stand to pray more. We know that we should read our Bibles. We should read them daily. We know we are to love our neighbors. We know we are to forgive. We know we should tithe. We know some things we should not do. We know we should not lie. We know we should not steal. We know we should not commit adultery or fornicate. We know a whole bunch of stuff. We know the right words. The problem comes with the deficiency. The falling short comes with doing it. We know we should pray more. We know we should read our Bibles daily. We know it. We got the right answer. But the problem is the deficiency is in the doing. So what do? We're just like the lawyers sometimes. We seek to justify ourselves. For example, and I'll just use the example of reading our Bibles daily. Now, some of us read our Bibles daily, others do not. All of us are working on reading our Bibles daily. Most all of us eat our natural food daily, our physical food. Well, we should eat part of, we should participate, eat, nourish ourselves with the spiritual word of God daily as well. We all know that. But then sometimes we fall short and then we seek to justify ourselves. We may say, oh, I'm busy. I'm too busy. I've got to do this first. I need to do that. Lord knows I want to read my Bible, but first of all, let me go do this or let me go do that. We know we should forgive one another, but oh, you just don't know how bad he hurt me or how badly she hurt me. And so we seek to cover up our shortcoming. We cover it up by justifying ourselves. We may say, oh, God understands. He knows. He knows my heart. And then we go on and do what we want to do. God, yes, he does understand. But we know God gives grace to each one of us to do what we should and to not do what he does not want us to do. The point I'm making is the lawyer, he knew the right answer with the mind, but he fell short with the doing. And so instead of saying, I confess my sins, he sought to what? Cover up his sin and to excuse himself. And we've all done that as well in one way or another. And so we can relate to the lawyer. And so he says, now he's going to come on with a question. He comes up with another question because he's trying to cover up his deficiency. He knows he has not loved God with everything, every minute, every hour, every day, every week, every month, every year. He has not done that. And so instead of saying, I've sinned and come short of the glory of God, he says, and who is my neighbor? And so he's carrying on a little further. Well, tell me, it's like Jesus, it's like he would say, I would love my neighbor. I would love my neighbor as myself, but could you tell me who my neighbor is? You know, maybe if I knew better who my neighbor is, then I could love my neighbor more. And so we see, what is the do we're supposed to do? First of all, love God with everything. Then secondly, love our neighbor as ourself. Those two commandments, they work together. They work together, but they're separately. They're separate. Well, when you love God, because they're blended together here, when you truly love God, it's going to work out by having mercy and compassion upon other people, wanting to treat people the way that you yourself would want to be treated. We all want others to have mercy upon us, especially in the hour of need. We all want others to have compassion of us when we're in desperate and weak situations. And so loving God works out. The doing is in loving our neighbors as ourselves. That is one fruit of the Spirit that lets us know and others know that we truly love the Lord is in how we treat others. Now let's go to the book of Leviticus. We went to Leviticus on last week, but let's go back to Leviticus again. Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. Because we're going to see the beautiful blending together of loving God. Yes, he's first, always first. But in loving God, it immediately follows loving neighbor as yourself. They work together. Now, Leviticus 19, and we're not going to have time to go through the entire chapter, but I would encourage you sometime this week, if you want to know what's something you could read in the Bible, I encourage you sometime this week to go through Leviticus 19 and see which verses have to do with loving God and which verses have to do with loving your neighbor. And you're going to find out it bounces back and forth. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Now, that's a command given in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, is you shall be holy. And that's what the four living creatures are saying before the throne of God. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. We are to be holy. Well, we sure need Jesus to be holy. Well, the commandment is, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Every one of you shall revere his mother and father. See that? It went from loving God, which is you shall be holy. That has to do with loving God. And it will also outwork in loving your neighbor, but loving God. But then in verse 3, now it goes to your neighbor, and it says, every one of you shall revere his mother and his father and keep my Sabbath. That goes back to God. I am the Lord your God. Then verse 4, do not turn to idols, nor make for yourselves molded gods. I am the Lord your God. That has to do with loving God. And then it goes on to skip down because of time. Let's skip down to verse 10. And verse 10 says, and you shall not glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather every grape of your vineyard. That means if you have a garden with a vineyard with some grapes in it, don't pick off every single grape. It says, you shall leave some of the grapes for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God. That has to do with loving your neighbor. You shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another. We know that has to do with the neighbor. And you shall not swear by my name falsely, nor shall you profane the name of your God. That has to do with loving God. Then we go down to verse 13, and we're going to pick up this key word, neighbor. And neighbor is going to appear many times. Because the lawyer wants to know, who is my neighbor? Well, we're going to find out from the Bible who the neighbor is. So verse 13 says, you shall not cheat your neighbor. Now, neighbor in general has to do with humanity, mankind, whoever you're around. It's whoever you may be around in society is fellow human beings. Verse 13, you shall not cheat. You all stop cheating your neighbor, nor rob him. Don't cheat your neighbor. Don't rob your neighbor. The wages of him who is hired shall not remain with you all night until the morning. In other words, if you hired someone, pay up. That's what he's saying. You shall not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shall fear your God. I am the Lord. Now let's follow the word neighbor. It's in verse 15. It's in verse 16. It's in verse 17. And then when you get to verse 18, it says, you shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. And so neighbor has to do with a lot of people. Neighbor in verse 10, neighbor is the poor. Neighbor is the stranger or the foreigner or the immigrant. Those are neighbors. And we are to be love the neighbor, the poor, the stranger. And then in verse 14, the neighbor, the deaf, the blind, the deaf and the blind, the impaired, we would say, physically impaired. Verse 15, the poor, the mighty, all of those. And then verse 16, you shall not go about as a talebearer. That has to do with gossiping and spreading rumors, and could be a truth, but you're going about talebearing on people. And so these are our neighbors. It's fellow humanity. And the command is love your neighbor as yourself. Let's go back to Luke. And so in Leviticus chapter 19, it's like last week I had you stretch out one arm, and that one arm was loving God, and the other arm was loving your neighbor. And on those two arms, it's like in a closet, you have a rod in a closet. And on those two, because on the rod in the closet, you hang clothes. Well, the rod here is love God. And all the laws fall up under either loving God or loving your neighbor. And you can see that in Leviticus chapter 19. And so the lawyer asked, who is my neighbor? He was seeking to justify himself. Now, let me, first of all, I'm going to pause here, and then we're going to ask a question, and then we're going to read our next passage, part two here. But I want you to get in your mind a group of people, a certain group of society of people that you don't care for. And I'm saying that nicely. Think about a group of people that just causes you to say, ugh, yuck. Or a group of people that causes you to say, oh my goodness, where did they come from? A group of people that you just kind of, and it's kind of hard to say this, but it's true of us. If we're honest, there is some group of people that you may sneer upon, look down upon, say, oh, no, just go the other side of the road. And to help you out some, it may be someone of other faiths, someone who is a Hindu or a Buddhist or Jehovah Witness or even an atheist. And if you think of an atheist, you may say, oh, I just don't care for atheists. Okay, that could be a group of people that you may, quote, look down on, or you may sneer somewhat. Or it could be poor people. Now, that poor is a relative word. Or it could be very rich people. Or it could be Democrats. Some people hear about Democrats and they just say, oh, Democrats, she's a Democrat, can't stand them. Or it could be Republicans. You know, we can relate to that. Democrat or Republican, all Republicans, all those Republicans, all those Democrats. And I think you can get the feel of what I'm trying to say. Someone that when you would hear about them, you may immediately go to the negative place. You may immediately go to the negative place when you hear they're Hindu, or you hear they're rich, or you hear they're Democrat or Republican. Or maybe it's when you hear about certain people's sexual orientation. Maybe they're flagrant homosexuals, transvestites. Maybe it's a prostitute, a whore, or maybe a pimp, someone that would cause you to sneer, look down upon. What about some people look down on big people? Other people look down on skinny people. Some people look down on young people. And then there's a whole group that look down on the elderly or senior citizens. And that's just the way it is. Or maybe if you meet somebody coming down the street and they're full of tattoos and you just immediately go there. You know, I mean, all those tattoos all over the place. And it causes you to go to a negative place. Or maybe they have a bunch of piercings all over in their on their face, their nose, their earlobes, all over, all these piercings. Maybe it's Black people. Some people, when they hear about African-Americans, Black people, they immediately go to a negative place. Or it could be white people. And some people immediately go to a negative place when they hear about white people or Latinos or any other race. So you get your group of people in mind that you may, and you may say, oh, you know, don't try to be self-righteous. There is somebody that will cause you, if you're honest with yourself, to go to that negative place. Now, once you get your group of people in mind, now let's read the passage. Luke chapter 10, verse 30. Luke chapter 10, verse 30. Then Jesus answered. He is answering the question, who is my neighbor? Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. We're going to stop right there. Okay, now looking at verse 30, Jesus answered the question, who is my neighbor? And he tells this parable. Jesus gives this parable. He starts out with a certain man. We don't know anything about this man except for his immediate situation, that the man fell into some bad circumstances. He fell among thieves. They stripped him of his clothing. They wounded him. They beat him up and they left him to die. That is all we know about the man. We don't know his race. Now, we could assume that he probably was a Jew. You know, we probably would be safe in that assumption. But the scripture doesn't tell us what race this man was. We don't know his economic status. We don't know if he was a poor man, if he was a rich man. We don't know if he had family. We don't know anything about this man. And so this man could represent all of humanity. All of humanity could fall into these circumstances. Any one of us could be subject to this happening. And so we could be that certain man, or this certain man could be anyone in the world. Well, this certain man, whoever he may be, represents all humanity. And this man, he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Now, if we had time, Sister Piper could tell us something about going from Jerusalem to Jericho. Well, this man will just simply say he's journeying. He's minding his own business. He's not messing with anyone. He's not causing any problems. He's just going from Jerusalem to Jericho to take care of whatever it is he was going to take care of. And what happened? Bad circumstance came. Unfortunate thing happened. Some thieves came. Some thugs came. He fell among these thieves, and it was a bunch of them, a whole bunch. We don't know how many, but he fell among thieves with a S. And these thieves, they didn't just take his money, they stripped him. And this man, they stripped him. Now, if you take the word strip all the way, they left this man naked. They stripped this man of his clothing. And this is another instance where this man represents all of us. Because regardless of what clothes we may have on today, when you take all that stuff away, we all stand naked before God. Naked we came into this world, and naked we will leave. And so this man is all of us in our nakedness. And so this man, they stripped him of his clothing. Now you have to picture that. That means they were tearing it off and they were getting those clothes from him. They beat him up. They wounded this man. They wounded him really bad. They were punching him and beating him and clubbing him, all kinds of things. And they beat him so badly that they almost killed the man. They left him half dead. He was not totally dead, but he was almost dead. Now you have to picture him bruised. You have to picture him bleeding. You have to picture him moaning. You have to picture him on the ground. You have to picture him groaning. You have to picture him curled up. You really got to get into the context, and that takes meditation. You could read it. Oh, they stripped him of his clothing. They wounded him. They departed and they left him half dead and go on to the next verse. But when you picture it, the man is in really bad shape, laying on the ground, moaning, groaning, and breath leaving him, energy leaving him because he's half dead, almost dead, left to die. All right. Now by chance, here we go. Now by chance, we're going to meet up with three different people. We're going to meet up with verse 31. There's a priest, verse 32. There's a Levite, verse 33. There's a Samaritan. Well, the priest comes, verse 31. Now by chance, a certain priest. Now it says a certain priest. Now that could be like a certain man. It could be any priest. It could be, we'll say, it could be any of us. Because the priest and the Levite, now let's bring it up to where we are today. Well, the priest, we know, was the one offers sacrifices to God. And the Levite, they were assistants in the tabernacle, assistants in the temple of God. And they were, quote, holy men. They were the ones who came to Bible class. They were the ones who were in Sunday school. They were the ones who preached the word. They were preachers and they were pastors. They were Bible study people. Now I'm bringing it up to where we can relate to it. Because if you keep it in the priest and you keep it in the Levite, you will miss it. You have to see, oh, that's the one that knows his Bible. That's the one who's teaching the Bible. And so, Sister Velma, this could be me or it could possibly be you. So here comes this priest, and the priest could be the deacon, the priest could be the trustee, the priest could be the choir member, the Levite, any of these that serve in the tabernacle or the temple or the church. It could be any of us. And so the priest comes in verse 31, it says, now by chance, a certain priest, and we got the picture, anyone that worships God, offers sacrifices to God. He came down that road. Here comes the priest down the road. And he saw him. Now, he saw this man laying on the ground, bleeding, moaning, groaning, bruised, battered. He saw that man. The choir member, well, I'll keep it with me, the Bible teacher, saw that man and did what? Passed by on the other side. The very one, the priest, the Levite, the very one who knows the word of God. You shall love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. And no doubt the priest knew that as well as the Levite. But what did the priest do? He saw the man left to die. In other words, this man is on his way to die, to death. He saw the man left to die and did what? Passed by on the other side. Now, this is an obvious need. I need to say that this is an obvious need. It is very obvious. There's no doubt about it. Because in our society, we're seeing all kind of people standing on all kind of corners wanting money. Some of them really need it. Some of them don't. So we don't know. And if you gave to everybody on every corner, you wouldn't have any money yourself. And so that's not this. This is an obvious, this man really needs help. There's no one else to help him but me. He's dying. Let me help him. Help him now. Okay, but no, he didn't do that. He saw the need and he passed by on the other side. Well, here comes likewise a Levite. Here comes a Levite. And when he arrived at the place where the man is, now the man's even weaker. The man's even weaker and the man's closer to death. When he arrived at the place, he came and he looked. You know, he took a good look. The first man, he saw him. This second Levite, he came and he looked. He took a really good look. And then he assessed the situation and he passed by on the other side. Now we come to verse 33. And this is where I want you to get that group of people that you may look down upon, whether you want to admit it or not, because that's what this Samaritan represents. The Samaritan represents to get the shock of it all. But a certain man full of tattoos with piercings all over, he was an atheist and he was whatever else you want to say. You get the shock of it. Instead of the Levite helping the man, the religious person, the person that say they love God, the person that knows the Lord, here comes an atheist. We'll say atheist because that's completely opposite us. And so what I'm trying to show you is it's a Samaritan. The one that you would least expect to help the man is the very one that will help this man. That very person that you may despise or look up on, that is the person that may be nearer to the kingdom of God than some of us. Okay? So verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, and that could be anybody that we may look down upon because the Samaritans were despised by the Jews. And John chapter 4, the woman at the well, she knew, well, the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans, but it was the Samaritan that's going to have compassion on this man. Verse 33, or we could say the man full of tattoos and piercings. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, he came where this man was. And when he saw him, because each three of these men saw that man moaning, groaning, bleeding, no telling what's coming out of his mouth. He's on his way to death. And this Samaritan, when he saw him, he had compassion. And we've talked about that word many times in our study of Luke. He had compassion. And if you have compassion and really have feelings for another person, this is loving your neighbor. It's not just say, oh, I love my neighbor. Compassion leads you into doing. It is a doing. I not just love my neighbor, but I love them so much that it's going to follow up in action. And so the Samaritan, the very person that you wouldn't expect to help the man, expected the man. Now, I have to hasten and say, I'm not saying that we would not have helped. What I'm saying is that God can use anyone to help someone. And the scripture lets us know that there are certain groups in society that are going to get into the kingdom of heaven before others that you would think would get in there first. And so this Samaritan, he had compassion. Well, how does his compassion play out in action? Verse 34. So he went to him and he did what? He bandaged his wounds. That meant that Samaritan, he got down on that man's level. He touched that man. He bandaged his wounds. That took some time. And maybe he had to take off some of his his own clothing to bandage the man's wounds. He poured in oil and wine, cleansing the wounds, and ointment for the wounds. He poured on, he's soothing the man's pain as best as he can, because this man is in dire condition. He poured on oil and wine. And then after seeing about that man on that level, he took the man. This took some energy. The man, first of all, took off his own belongings to bandage his wounds. He poured on the oil and the wine. And then he took this man and set this man on his own animal. And for us, that would be put him in your car. He put this man in his own car, put him on the back of his mule or whatever this man had, set him on his own animal. And then he did what? Brought that man to an end. Now, this is compassion. This is compassion. This is doing. This is loving your neighbor. He brought the man to an end and took care of the man. He took care of that man. And on the next day, it says on the next day. So that lets us know he stayed with that man. So this man, he didn't just give the man $2. He didn't just give him $2. He went beyond. He went further. We could say he went all the way for this man. Verse 35, on the next day, we only have 4 minutes. On the next day, he stayed with that man. He stayed with him that night, seeing about the man. Now, keep in mind, this man is in very, very bad shape. And so he didn't hand the man over to someone else. He stayed with him that evening, taking care of him. But on the next day, you know, because life makes you go on and do what you got to do. So on the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii. He took out some money, gave the money to the innkeeper. And he said to the innkeeper, the man at the hotel, take care of this man. Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay him. And so this man required long care help, long care assistance, long-term assistance. But this Samaritan was there to help this man, and if he couldn't help him, he took him to someone, took care of the monetary value of it, and said, I'm going to come back and see about this man. He cared for that man for the long haul. And so we can assume that he did come back the next day or whenever he could get back. And it could have been a month or two before that man. Because if you're left to die, you don't get up overnight. It takes some time to heal from that degree of wounds. So he said, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. Now, this could also be, this is on another level of scripture, spiritually speaking, when it's time for rewards from our God, from our Jesus, the good that we have done. When Jesus comes again and we stand before him at the judgment, the good that we have come, Jesus lets us know he will repay in rewards. We won't lose helping other people. In our last 2 minutes here, verse 36, Jesus asked the lawyer that was trying to justify himself, wanting to know who is my neighbor. Jesus gave the parable and he says, so which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. And so that ends our lesson for today. Now, we may not have to, and probably most times we will not be required to go to the extent that this Good Samaritan did. But what we will be required to do, and we have to pray, Lord, give me eyes to see hurting people. There are many hurting people in this world today. And if there's a need, God wants to use us for that need. Now, when I say wants to use us, because we do have to use wisdom, but you can't use that as an excuse. Now, our time is up, and I'm going to go into prayer. But I want to end by saying, and it's 9:55, why come they didn't help that man, the Levite, the priest? Well, maybe they were on their way to an assignment. Maybe it was because it's 9:55 and they had to go, which is what I have to do. So Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. And we want to say, Lord, help us to love you with everything. And then may our love work out in mercy, compassion, and helping others. Lead us and guide us to who it is that you would have us to help. And then, Lord God, as we do that, we will be reflections of you, the Christ. We ask you to be with us this week. Keep us in your care until we meet again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Velma.
Amen. You all have your assignment and do likewise.
Wonderful. Amen.
Thank you, Sister. God bless
you. You're welcome.
Everyone.
Next week,
thank
we're going
you.
To
thank you, teacher.
Verse 38. We'll be going to verse 38. I'm glad to see all of you.
Good to see you too.
My sister Lana Smith. Glad to see you, Sister Lana.
Good to see you too, everybody.
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 I see use your imagination for seeing me.
Pray for me. I'll be praying for you.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
We don't want to look down on anyone.
That's right.
Amen.
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 God bless everybody.
God bless you.
Hope to see you
God
next you. Week. We'll be talking about the sisters next week.
Okay.
Lord willing.
Sister Sanders, okay. Be sure to look in the chat for a prayer request.
Have a good day. The chat. Okay. Let's check the chat.
Okay, I saw it. Sister Tyler and her daughter Dee tested positive with COVID. Please pray for the family. All right, I'll be in prayer.
Get some NyQuil.
Yes, for the entire Tyler family, Bishop Tyler family. Thank you for sharing that. I did not know. God bless everyone. Have a beautiful week in the Lord.
God bless you.
You do the same.
You
thank you.
Yes. Sharon. Cheers.